Well, here we go again. Another old codger's going to tell his tale, right?
No.
You know, where do I start? I'll start from the beginning. 86 years ago, my mother fought forth on this continent a new son and named him Billy. It wasn't quite that simple. When I was born, it was during the Depression. It's also during a smallpox epidemic. So my mother had smallpox, so when I was born, I had smallpox. My grandmother started crying when I was born. She thought I was deformed, but I was just a bag of bones. That's all it was. But the doctor said, nothing wrong with that boy, just a little filling out, we'll take care of. And so here I am. But God has been good to me. He has blessed me in many, many ways. My first thought of the church was I was probably 5 years old. My sister now, she was 21 years old when I was born. So she kind of took me under her arm and I was her baby, and she brought me to church. And she brought me to church, and I was in church, and back then we was in the little church building, and Brother Alan Wilson was preaching, and he was right up there, and he was pointing his finger and just really laying it down, and I started bawling, and they tried to figure out what was wrong with me. I was just scared to death. I thought he was scolding me. But things got better after that. We lost our home. It was during the Depression. My dad owed $500 on the house, and I can remember seeing the sheriff pull up, serving the papers. We had to move, and that was pretty devastating. Well, we started moving around, ended up moving over. We ended up later on, I was probably in my about 10 years old, I was over on Verde Avenue, down at the end of Verde Avenue, down next to the creek, between two railroad tracks. But we, my brother and I, would start to Sunday school. We went to Sunday school. We walked several miles, a mile and a half, 2 miles, something like that. But we had kind of a caravan. There was three boys, neighbor boys. They were Bradford boys. And this family, it's kind of a sad situation. Their father was an alcoholic. It was Art, Paul, and Frankie. Frankie was the baby, and when he was born, his mother died. Well, for some unknown reason, I don't know, never knew why, but there was a man named Enoch Deal. He was from the Church of God. His wife left him and married Bradford, Mr. Bradford, Jake Bradford. Well, she sent the boys to the Church of God. So we walked to the church. Sadly, when Frankie was about 6 years old, she died. But they didn't stop going to church. They kept coming. And Frankie and Art was a little stronger. But Paul, he needed attention. He needed love. And Brother Richie had a standing order at his restaurant that whenever Paul comes through that door, that he got a meal. But that wasn't sufficient. And finally, the authorities put Paul in an institution, and he died, probably of a broken heart. But Art and them, they grew up. Sadly, they quit coming to church later when they were in their life. But Frankie, I saw him later. He was a grown man. He'd been to the army. He'd married a bride in Germany, and he'd come back. He asked me one day, he said, "Is Sister Beatrice still living?" I said, "Well, yes, at that time she was." I said, "She's living out there to God's Acre." So, "Why don't you come to church there?" "Well," he said, "you know," he said, I remember many times falling asleep with my head on her lap, because they would come to church even at night. That's some of the things that happened. The old church building we used to worship in was kind of a crude thing. We have all these nice facilities here. We went to Sunday school. It was a dirt floor, dirt walls, whitewashed, low ceiling, was kind of interesting because the women wore hats, and it was kind of a challenge sometimes to get them hats in there. But I remember Sunday school pretty well. God has been blessed me through life. As I come down through, I better take my notes out and see what's going on there. Brother Chris, he gave me kind of a resume of some of the things that he thought maybe I could talk about. As I said, things got a little tough when my mother, I remember when I was about 5 years old, my mother one day, she fell. And I didn't know what was wrong. And she wrote a note, had me go to the next door neighbor, and she turned blind. And I remember that was kind of a bad situation there for in my life. Her illness was actually caused by her teeth, bad teeth. And they put her in bed. They kept her in a dark room. A year, I can't remember. It seemed like a long time to me. That's when I started in the first grade. I had to walk quite a distance, and I didn't do too well. But thank God, he brought her out of that. She was able to see again. I went to Sunday school, but as I got in my early teens, I kind of drifted away a little bit. Didn't come to church. 1946, they had a revival, and my mother and my sister and two sisters and I went to the revival that Brother Barry was preaching. The revival, and there was quite a few had got saved in that revival. It was quite a. This is right after the war, and a lot of the young men was coming back from the war. So Brother Emerson Wilson was one of them. He was not saved while he was in the service, but he came back and he got saved. And Brother Dickerson, several of the young men come back and got saved in that period of time. And it was a glorious thing, and they got going to church. And I was, later on, as I grew up as a teenager, Brother Emerson would come and get me. I got saved, and he would come and get me, take me to revivals with him. That was a good experience. And I remember going to camp meeting with him and his father and mother, and I can remember him telling his dad about certain situations. I know that was me, I would do this and do that. And his dad kind of laughed, you know, said, "You'll find out." And Brother Emerson, I believe, was more soft-hearted even than his dad. But Brother Wilson was a great man of God. I saw him. I knew what he was like. And I seen the hand of God on him. I seen him become one of the greatest preachers we ever had, a prophet. He prophesied some of the things that's happening right today, that there would be a falling away. And he told about these things. In 1954, Sister Beatrice was in charge of the Sunday school, and she called me and asked me if I'd be a Sunday school teacher. And I really didn't feel capable, but I said yes, and I thank God I've been Sunday school teacher ever since. I lost some of the period of time while I was sick with cancer and taking care of my wife, but otherwise I've been serving the Lord ever since as a Sunday school teacher. And I've had quite a few experiences there, some good, a few bad, but I've seen some boys that God has put their hand on, and how he's blessed them. And while I was attending, I remember, of course, we had the church history, and a lot of you have not been able to be there and see some of the things that happened. I know you've been working and different things. But we had the little old church building, I say, and it was 1949. Well, in the 40s, we started getting a need for another building. And Brother Alan Wilson, they tried to figure out where they were going to get the money. Because now the Depression had been starting to clear up now, the 40s, but then the war was in place. A lot of these men had been to war, their finances wasn't too great because they didn't get much money that being a soldier. And so finances were a little tight. And as you see, we started the building fund by sales tax stamps. Now we pay sales tax today, but back then they would give you stamps, whatever the denomination was, and somehow or other the state would reimburse us for, they'd stack the different denominations together and they would give nonprofit organizations a refund. And so that's why we started the money. But and then when Brother Wilson, Brother Alan Wilson went to get a loan, he went to the loan company, and the man that with the loan company knew Brother Wilson. They knew each other quite well, and he knew that Brother Wilson had a bad heart, and he thought if he would die, the congregation would fall apart. So he said, Alan, he said, we'll give you the loan if you'll promise us that you'll live the 10 years to pay it back. Well, Brother Wilson, he thought about it. He said, okay, Max, he said, I'll make that promise. You promise to be here to collect it. Well, of course, we didn't get the loan. But Brother Wilson then come to us. He said, I've asked you people, admonished you to go take your money down to that building and savings loan and deposit there. Now I want you to go get your money. Bring it to us. We'll give you a note for it. We'll pay you the same interest, and we'll build it with our own money, and that's what we did. And God blessed that many of the men learned how to delay block. They learned a lot of talents. We got a lot of people in there. We had hired an electrician at that time named Carl Orr, and he got attracted to one of our young ladies, and he married her, and he's been in the church ever since. And we had a lot of good times. Of course, and then eventually we outgrew that building, and we're in this facility now. And quite a few changes. You probably heard about Brother Alan Wilson having this image in his mind. He's seen this campgrounds and how people would come from the east and the west, the north and south. And he purchased the property, and he was standing by the barn one night with some of the brethren. He said, you'll see them coming from the east, the west, the north, the south. But he said, I'll never see it. And they said, Brother Emma said, oh, Dad, you will. He went home that night and had a heart attack and died. But his image, his vision has taken us, as you see, his vision is still here. Thank the Lord. I've been blessed in many ways. I've seen many wonderful people, met many wonderful people as in the bookstore. I met a lot of different ones that's come here. We've had a lot of down through the ages. Remember Brother Ralph Frymer? I remember when he felt the burden to go to Africa, and he went to Africa and he spent some time over there. I remember he told about, he had a young boy that he found. He was over there, they have, if somebody got real bad and they didn't think they hoped for him, a child, they would take him out to the edge of the jungle and leave him. And the animals would take care of him. Well, he found this boy and he got him and he brought him back, brought him home, and he doctored him. I can't remember whether it was an infection or not. By the way, you know how they take care of the infections over there, don't you? You had an infection, you didn't have antibiotics. You just took maggots, and they would eat the infection out. And that's how they cleared that up. But I think perhaps that's what happened to Johnny. Anyway, they took him, and he was just a little fella, and they raised him. Well, they left Africa, and Brother James Nip went over to take the place. And so he took this boy in, and he had him as his son for a while. And when he came back to the United States, he realized they had a problem this boy couldn't go back to his tribe. He didn't know any of the tribal ways, and so they had to bring him to the United States. Well, at that time, they thought, well, now what am I going to do? He's black and we're white, and they had some problems with that situation. I remember Brother Burton, his family that used to sing here. Brother Burton had 12 children, and he adopted this boy and raised him. And part of that, I know that, I don't know where that boy is now. He was a Christian boy. And I was blessed to see Sister Faith Stort. She was here visiting. She was an old saintly, just looked like a motherly woman. But if you read her book and the book about her, you'll see what a great woman of faith she was. And God blessed her in many ways. Sadly, when Castro came in and took over and took all the facilities that was there at the Church of God, she left here and went to Baltimore, and she passed away in Baltimore. Fact is, I think she passed away in the same bedroom that Brother Cleve Green did. And I was thinking about, you know, as I was coming down through my life and some of the lessons I've learned, I tried to take something from everything. You believe it or not, when I was going to school, I had to make choices. You make choices, and you make choices about your curriculum. And I made some pretty bad ones sometimes. I took Greg's shorthand. Can you believe that? Greg's shorthand. I was going to be my school teacher, she talked me into it. I was going to be a court reporter. Of course, now they have these machines to take care of all that. And I took Greg's shorthand. I think I might be able to write my own name, but that's about all I could write in shorthand right now. But I remember one thing. There was a rule. When you take dictation, the rule was, when in doubt, leave it out. And you know that rule is a good rule to take in your life. When you're in doubt about something, any doubt, leave it out. Leave it out. And I'm thankful that I've been able to serve God. Brother Decker has trusted me with the fact of being the trustee, and I take that an honor. Not just a name, but I wanted to do the best I could, and I've tried to keep that up. I think about, you know, I took talking about sales courses. There's another course I took in school. It was called salesmanship. And I remember that course. I want a few things out of it. One of them was, when you're a salesman, there's three gets. Get in, get over, get out. So I'm over, I'm getting out.